Child Protection Unit in the United Nations Mission in South Sudan is organizing a regional child protection training workshop for SSPDF, South Sudan Opposition Alliance, and SPLA-IO. This will be beginning on the 23rd to 24th of January here in Juba. We'll be having our guests here with us in the studio that will be talking to us about that shortly in the program. But for now, let's look at some of your text messages and reactions to our conversations. And most of you, of course, earlier has been discussing about the prices of commodities in the market extremely going high, and especially during this January, where you spend a lot in December,
right,
and many civil servants haven't received their salaries up to now, and in other places. And yeah, things are hard. So we said let's have that conversation, and a number of you have been sending us text messages and particularly looking at how do we fix this and where the problem is.
That's right.
So let's go through some of those messages.
Indeed, and looking at some of your comments here, Mose Nyang Nyon from Munuki, the problem of the economic crisis in our country is based on the gas and dollar, and that is an issue. If we can nip the problem in the bud, addressing the dollar issue, or also strengthening the SSP, and several ways of strengthening the SSP, and that is first of all having to increase our GDP as a country, and that is local or domestic production.
The only way we can handle the situation of the dollar, so we can render it useless, is by producing our own food. So if we cannot buy things like tomatoes and onions and all these basic things from the neighboring countries, if they're not even coming here because we have abundant, and then, you know, why do you need a dollar?
We may not.
And then we also need to fix ourselves where we have our education system in place here. We have our health systems in place. So you don't need to take your children,
To the outside, neighboring countries.
So you don't need dollar, really.
The only reason that the dollar is in demand is because of those issues. When you're sick, you have to be flown out, and you need, you know, foreign currency for you to be able to do that. Your children need foreign currency to be able to study abroad or in the neighboring countries. So
why can children in the neighboring countries come and study here?
Exactly.
We need to improve our education system as well here. You know,
come here.
So someone in Kenya can say, I'm going to the University of Juba University.
Or to the secondary schools,
I'm going to secondary schools in South Sudan. I'm going to, you know, study in WAU. In Bargazar region or in Rumbeg. Yeah, people should be coming from the neighboring countries.
Giving them exchange rate, foreign exchange, and also increasing increasing their tax base.
So keep your messages coming this morning here on the Mirror Breakfast. So our text message line is still on 091-21-77-141.
Right. Jack Chol, you are from Kwart South, Payam of What Up State. The issue of water is a problem here in Kwart South, Payam, because of the displaced people, or the displacement that has happened between WAU and Apuk due to the conflict. So we need our authorities in Warap and the national government to support them in different ways. Also to create some water points to reduce the suffering of the people.
All right, those are your messages this morning here on the Miraya Breakfast Show. Well, it's coming up to 20 minutes to the top of the hour. Good morning.
Cry for peace.
If we are talking about peace implementation, peace building, without looking critically at the root causes and the drivers of the insecurity in the country, we will just be talking. And it starts when we talk of security arrangement, unification of all the forces that have been fighting each other for the last 9 years. Then we embark on dialogue with our communities, because disarming the communities, taking the arms they are using to destabilize the countryside, also need dialogue with them. And the key term is, let me take your guns and I will protect you.
Peace, love, and harmony. You give me some more. Peace, love, and harmony.
Ichade. Jah saw it was good when he put us together here in this blessed land. But why we don't want to respect each other? Yah betura junub lisakanizalan. Turab junub lisakanizalan. Turab junub lisakanizalan. Turab junub lisakanizalan. Woyoy. 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 Yo. Le kulio nina birija zalan tanina lenafsa tana. Le nina mauzuru dubadun rabuna kan farhan lama huwa kudunina sawa fiturab mubarak. Laki le nina mauzu terim badun.
Marhaba kum tan mara musimenteza barnamik tena tamiraya breakfast show azon biga sa tamania ile sitasar dagaike. And yes, as I told you earlier, we'll be having our guests here with us in the studio, and we'll be having a conversation particularly on child protection. Well, ANMI's Child Protection Unit in South Sudan is organizing a regional child protection training workshop for SSPDF, SSOA, which is South Sudan Opposition Alliance, and the SPLA-IO from the 23rd to the 24th of January here in Juba. Now, to talk about this, I'm glad to tell you that we have our guest with us here in the studio. We have Chaplain Kamis Edward, who is from the South Sudan People Defense Forces Child Protection Unit. Good morning, Mr. Chaplain, and welcome to the Miraya Breakfast. It's good to have you here.
Yeah, good morning, Miraya.
Yes, and with us also we have Oluku Andrew from the NDDRC. Oluku, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. It's good to have you. And with us as well, we have Mr. Timothy Kulang, who is from ANMI's United Nations Mission in South Sudan. Timothy, good morning. Good to have you.
Good morning, Sabit.
Yes, let's go right away and talk about this particular workshop that is meant to take place. Let's begin with you, Timothy, who is one of the organizers. Of course, ANMIS is supporting this. Briefly, just tell us about this workshop. What is it all about? What are the goals and objectives of this workshop?
Good morning once again. This workshop is the continuation of the activities that we have been doing as ANMIS Child Protection together with UNICEF and other actors. As you have seen from the title, is the refreshment training for the child protection focal point from the military, SSPDF, SPLA-IO, and SOA. When we say refreshment, it means we have done a number of trainings. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you that we have covered a wide area of the actors, starting from the military, we went to the civil society, we did with the church organization, religious groups, youth and women, paramount chiefs, commissioners, and now we have learned that after covering all these people, and we need to come back to our main actors. The child protection focal point from the military are the main actors based on the action plan. So the training will be based on the comprehensive action plan.
And when we talk about child protection within the army or in this particular, what is this workshop trying to address? Where is the problem, first of all?
The workshop is trying to address the six grave violations, which are the core mandate of ANMIS Child Protection. And this six grave violation is that children should not be recruited and used by the military, and children should not be killed and maimed by the military. Schools should not be occupied, hospitals the same, abduction should not be done, sexual violence against children, and denial of humanitarian access. So this is what we are going to dwell on, and we need also to assess where we are for the last couple of years.
Yes, talking about assessing where we are, Mr. Chaplain Kamis, we heard from Timothy and some of the six grave violations of child or children's rights when it comes to the army. What is the situation like within the SSPDF?
Thank you, Sebit Abdu. But first
Sebit
of all,
William.
Sebit William. Yes. But first of all, I want to correct. I'm not Mr. I'm Major General.
Major
Chaplain
General.
Khamis.
Okay.
I didn't get your question correct. Can you repeat it?
Well, the question is, what is the situation like, child protection situation when it comes to the SSPDF itself within the six grave violations?
I think at the beginning, there were a lot of reports about recruitment, about occupation of schools, about abduction, about sexual violence against children. But after a long time, when we start engaging the forces in the six grave violations, as Timothy mentioned, a lot of trainings has been done, and awareness raising has been done. Most of these grave violations are now reducing. I'm not saying that it's already finished, but it's diminishing. So reports that always come, like at the beginning, we're no longer there, concerning recruitment, concerning abduction, concerning killing and maiming, and even concerning occupation of schools. And to me, I'm thinking that there is a great achievement on the implementation of the comprehensive action plan that we signed on the 7th of February 2020. That was also revised and also extended. So we are doing great.
Oh, that's good. Now, Oluku, Andrew, how would you like to add something when it comes to the child protection and the six grave violations?
Yes, the refresher training is actually one of the, let me say training. Training is one of the provisions in the action plan. Apart from this, we have been doing a lot. Timothy and my colleague, Major General Chaplain Kamisa, has mentioned it. For the last 3 or 4 years since the signing of the comprehensive action plan, we have been doing a lot. Not only this training, we have been also going out whenever there is any allegation on the issue of the school or presence of children, we go and verify. And we involve not only the military, including the local government. The training that we had in the past, including the paramount chiefs from different counties, the commissioners, students, etc. Yeah, so we have been reaching out up to ground level, not only the training that we do in Yuba. And also the UNMISS field offices, actually in the Ten State, they're also doing the same thing that we are doing, because it bringing the participant from the states to Juba is more costly than having a big number on the ground. Thank you.
Great. Now, Timothy, as we heard right there, Major General Chaplain did mention that there's been a lot of improvement over the years, at least with these trainings and all that. There's no, can we say with a lot of confidence right now that you have not seen any new recruitment, let's say, of children or of children into the armed forces?
Yes, of course, I can agree with Major General Chaplain that the violations has reduced, but it doesn't mean that they are not there. We cannot call them recruitment, but there are still some cases of use of children by individuals, and this is what we are working on to be addressed.
And when you say use of children, can you explain that?
Yes, use of children. Children are not in the military barrack being recruited and actively involved in military activities, but they are doing some domestic work for the military, and they are moving with them from location to location. This is what we term as use of children. So these two violations come together, recruitment and use of children. Of course, in any work, there must be challenges. And, you know, South Sudan is a country where a child does not look like a child. This is a challenge because you can get a child of 16 years who already look like 22 years old. These are challenges that we face when we are come to identification. And National DDR, through Office of Oluko, is doing a lot of work in terms of verification, screening, and identification of these cases.
Yes, and let's get back to you, Mr. Oluku, talking about you know, the disarmament and all that. Children particularly, has there been a lot of progress made in getting children out of the armed forces?
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of progress and achievement. And you know, our targets, and normally the cantonment site where the forces gathered, We need to go there. You know, when we talk of child soldiers, they may be more visible. But when we talk of children associated, they're invisible. They could be children of the soldiers.
Yes.
So we get into the cantonment site or to the training center and meet with the instructors, with the commanders in the cantonment site to interact with them to find out if there are some children who might have walked out, has been pushed by situation in their families or in their community. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes children, when they see the environment is not favorable, they avoid and they run away.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it's not a choice of their families, but they are avoiding. You know, as children of this time, they are quite stubborn.
Yeah.
So there is a lot of progress. Before the first batch training, we visited number of cantonment sites. Let me say all the cantonment sites, either with child protection or with the bigger DDR. And I get involved because of the issue of the children. But of recent, even in the training center, we have not been finding any child that is associated with the forces.
Yes, and talking about demobilizing or disarming some of these children or getting them out of, you know, being associated with the army, most of them after that are just abandoned. Some of these children, as you didn't mention, are there not by choice. They are there because their family members are there, because they are provided some kind of protection. But after getting them out of that environment, what happens? What services are you providing for these children to ensure that they still have a normal life, they can go to school, they can have a life basically not associated with the army?
There is no politics in the release of children. And we are always frank with the families and so on. You know, the primary responsibility of our own children rely on the biological parents or the community. Whoever come there or the government, this could be secondary. So the children release is a process. It starts with identification. Once they are identified, we go in to verify. And once they are released, we knock doors everywhere because they need to be reintegrated back to their community. And some of them who might have been in the school or the school age going, we talk to our partners that can we support them so that they get back to school. Or those who have interest in the school, we also tell them, we tell the children that that the best, what is better for their future is education. Because education can open their eyes, can open doors to many opportunities in future. So actually, reintegration has been a bigger challenge. We have a number of children that we released in the past. Most of them come from rural areas. And in those rural areas, there are no schools. And this is also goes to the Ministry of Education, to our government, that we have to see that these schools are distributed equally, not only centered in towns. The rural areas, children need education.
All right. Yes, Major General Chaplain, now this particular workshop that is starting on the 23rd, what are some of the expectations from the SSPDF, basically, on the outcome of this?
thank you, Shebit. I think the main expectation is that after when we finish with all the rollout of the refreshment training all over the 12 or the 11 divisions, and then we will see into it that a total change will happen, because some divisions, after when the war broke out in 2013, some divisions remain without self-protection officers. And then we see into it that there is a gap. So to fill that gap is by training the former self-protection officers and then train new ones to cover that gap. So when that gap is covered, and as it was mentioned in the beginning, that a lot of trainings has been done, division commanders were also given trainings. I think most of the senior officers also received training. And then, to me, is a total change, and it will bring actually the achievement that we are looking for. And our main objective is that we need to be delisted from the list of shame. that our names are actually listed on the base of the six grave violations. We need all these six grave violations actually to be delisted, and then we entered into the process of getting new things instead of talking of this issue of six grave violations all the time. Mm-hmm. Since the signing of the action plan in 2009, after today we are still talking of the six grave violations. We need to bring an end to these six grave violations by putting an end to any violations from the security forces. All so right. That is our main target.
All right. Thank you so much. And that's the time we have for all of you. Just in less than 30 seconds each, please. Let's begin with you, Mr. Timothy. What will be your message out there?
My message is that child right is a human right. And when child right is violated, it means it's a threat to peace and security. We have to protect our children. We have to ensure that they develop in good life.
Thank you so much, Timothy. Oloku, Andrew, what would be your message, please?
Yeah, my message is to everyone. Let us take ourselves that we are all child protection practitioners. Let us work hard, guide our children, let them know we go outside the box. They have to be where we want them to be.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Major General Chaplain.
Yeah, to me, I just want to pass this message to my colleagues, the commanders, everywhere, in any level, that let us bring this issue of grave violations an end. Everything has an end. Why is grave violation is still continuing? Let us make it to be the last training for the child protection officers, and then we start the process of delisting. We don't want to remain in that list for so long. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Major General Chaplain. Thank you, Oluku Andrew, and thank you, Timothy. We do appreciate your time coming to Mirai Breakfast Show.